Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. All right, so I took a couple of days off, but I am back now, and I want to start out by just saying how much I love emergency funds, okay? One of the things that was going on is, unfortunately, we had an emergency come up in our family where we had to go to the emergency room, and all sorts of tests had to be run and different things, and we're probably going to be ended up with a pretty big emergency room bill, but grateful that I have an emergency fund. If I didn't have an emergency fund, then I wouldn't have just a problem as far as the health of the family, but I'd also have a financial problem. I would have to figure out how on earth am I going to pay for this care that we needed to have happen. But thankfully, because we've been working on our financial house and building it up, we have that emergency fund so that when we had to go to the ER, we were able to go and we can focus on the health of the family and not have to worry about it creating a financial problem. So emergency funds are really, really important, and definitely look at starting to build yours. I set the goal last Friday to start working on it. So I just want to do a quick midweek follow-up and say, how's it going? How is your emergency fund being built? Have you been able to put any away yet? Have you sold some things? I'd love to hear from you and hear how things are going. Go head out to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Trigator. Let me know how things are going with the challenge. Okay, so what I want to talk mostly about today, though, now that we've covered a little bit about emergency funds and just, you know, how grateful I am for that, is I want to talk about your neighbors, because your neighbors, they may have a lot of really, really cool stuff. Yeah, you may look and say, oh, they have this neat car, they have these ATVs, they have this boat, they go on these vacations, they do all these things. But really, the thing you need to remember about your neighbors is that they are broke. Okay? Your neighbors are broke. If they have all of these things, there's a good chance that they are probably in debt for these things. And you don't know. You don't know if they're in debt for them or if they paid cash. But most people, I can tell you, they go into debt for those sort of things. And it really, really hurts things, because when you go into debt for something, it kind of becomes almost bitter. You know, have you ever gotten a really nice car? And when you finance it, and then the next thing you know is you drive it off the lot and you get a little ding from a rock or something, and you're just like, oh, it really, really hurts, because it's not your car yet. It's still financed, you know? So really paying cash for things helps you to really appreciate it more. Okay. And if you're able to save up and you're paying for that car in cash, you feel so much better about it and having it. And you're thinking, hey, this is mine. I worked hard for it. I can really, really enjoy it. When you finance things and do things on credit, you get that instant gratification of, oh, I got it. But then every month that you're paying on that, it's really, really going to hurt. You don't want to compare yourself with those neighbors, because your neighbors are broke. You know, we talk about keeping up with the Joneses. Well, the Joneses are broke, right? So really focus on keeping your financial house in order, because here's the thing. If you are in the process of building that financial house, so you've started with that first step and you're giving a little bit to a charity every month or every paycheck, and then you're focusing on protecting your family, making sure that you're able to pay your rent, your utilities, focusing on those things that are the basic needs for your family, and then you're trying to pay off debt and get out of debt and do those things, and then if you've achieved that debt-free point, then you're starting to save and invest and put things away for the future and your retirement. If you're doing all of these things, then you are fantastic. You're in great shape, and you're doing a lot better than probably most of the people in this country, honestly, because you are building that financial house and you're not starving your future self. What you're doing when you go into debt and when you don't build your financial house is you're starving your future self, because you're not going to be able to have the life that you want in the future because you're going for that instant gratification, right? Now, it's okay to buy some things like we've talked about. Buying a nice car isn't a bad thing. Buying a nice car on credit, that's a problem. If you want to buy a nice car, save up for it. Get yourself a nice little A to B car to get you where you need to go and start putting away into a savings goal, right? So you have a savings goal to get you that car. Or if you want to go on a vacation, build that savings goal and say, okay, I want to go on vacation. Let's just say we want to go to Universal Studios down in Florida, okay? And let's say that you're like me and live on the West Coast. Well, not on the West Coast, but you're like me and you live in the West. And you have to do airfare. You have to plan for your stay while you're there. As far as the hotel goes, you have to, and you're putting all these things together and you're building a budget for that vacation, okay? And you realize, okay, it's going to cost me about $5,000 to take this vacation that I really want to take. Well, the next step that you will need to do is say, okay, if I need $5,000 to take this vacation, when do I want to take it? Do I want to take it next summer? This coming summer? If it's this coming summer, you better start saving fast. But if you want to take it, let's say next summer, you say, okay, well, I have a full year of paychecks. And let's say that, for example, you have 26 paychecks a year because you're paid every other week, right? So you have 26 paychecks each year and you want to save $5,000. You're going to take $5,000 and you're going to divide it by those 26 paychecks. You're going to know and say, you know what? If I save $192.31 every paycheck next year, I can go to this vacation and I can pay for it in cash. It's pretty awesome to pay for those vacations in cash because you enjoy them so much more. It's so difficult when you do it on credit and afterwards you come home and you're like, okay, we had this fun vacation, but now I have to pay for it every month. Plus, I'm going to be paying interest because I put it on my credit card, and that's just not a fun feeling to have, okay? So put it into a financial savings goal, all right? And one of the neat things, again, with our sponsor, Tregator, is that it can do that math for you. You put in when you want to go on your vacation, how much you want to save, it'll divide things out for you so that you can save the right amount each paycheck. And it'll help you keep track and stay on task. So take a quick step back and really think about this though, okay? If you are working on building that financial house, you really are in great shape because you're building that future. You're building that future wealth that you're going to be able to have so that when you want to save up for those things, it's going to accelerate it. Think about it. If you didn't have any debt at all, could you save that money for that vacation faster? Could you save for that car faster? Could you save for that ATV faster? Any of those toys that those neighbor has have, how fast can you save for those things and then be able to pay cash for them if you're debt free? Pretty quick. You know, a lot of the problems that people have in their finances is in that debt and going through and having to pay that money to someone else. I mean, you're already working because of taxes. You're working for the government for several months of the year before you get to see anything. But how hard is it to think, you know, I'm working not for myself. I'm working to build some other person's financial future because I'm in debt. And that's what your neighbors are doing. And you don't want to be like that. So focus on building your financial house and feel good about it. Feel good about how fantastic you are for doing that. How awesome you are. Because you're doing something that most people aren't. And you're doing very, very well at it. So keep it up. Keep trying. Build that financial house, go through those levels, and you'll see how great it can be. Let's shift over and answer some questions. Our first question comes from Rick. He says, I have close to $200,000 in my 401k. I have a feeling we are headed for a crash, so I want to get out of the market for a bit. What is the best route to move money into an IRA or bonds or etc.? Well, Rick, one thing you have to remember is that markets are going to fluctuate. They're going to go up and down. You're going to have big gains, you're going to have losses, all those things, and it's going to move, but it generally is moving up, okay? And you are really considering things for the long term, all right? You're not looking to make these short-term day trading type gains where you're having to really watch the markets and make sure that they're, you know, where you're selling individual stocks and such. If you look at your 401k and you go out to it, you'll see that it is probably diversified into several different funds. And if you have a good 401k provider, they will have several different funds that you can pick from. And it depends on your risk level, your age, and a number of different factors. For example, if you're close to retirement age or close to age 65, you can move things into much more conservative investments that are not going to fluctuate very much. They're not going to give you very much in terms of gains because the risks are going to be really low, but it's going to be low risk. It's going to keep your money there. And if you're really, really concerned about losing a lot of money, you can move it into one of those lesser risk conservative options. And again, it depends on your 401k administrator, but all the ones that I've seen, they can allow you to set your risk tolerance and move things around. And then once you feel like the markets are in a better spot, you can move it to a little bit more aggressive strategy. And again, it's going to make recommendations for you depending on your age. I'm not sure how old you are, how close you are to retirement. If you're younger and you got some time before retirement, I wouldn't stress because the crash, let me just give you an example. My 401k and my IRAs and my investments back at the beginning of COVID, when the markets took a huge dip, went way, way down, I lost a lot of money at that point, but I stayed in the market. I stayed in it. I didn't pull anything out and I waited. And now those investments have not only recovered, but they're way, way up from where they were prior to that COVID dip and that COVID crash. So stick in for the long haul and be prepared that there are going to be dips in the market, but it usually will rebound and work its way up, and it generally goes up. So if you look at some of the numbers and some of the averages, you should be okay. Just again, but if you're feeling that it's really, you're really concerned about it, talk to a professional financial advisor and have them give you some specific details. But go out to your 401k provider, have a conversation with them, and see if you can get into something that has lower risk in it, because they do have those options for different funds that they can put it into and have that lower risk. So good luck. I hope things work out for you. Our next question is from Lois. She says, I've paid for my son's college for 2 years with 2 years to go. Should he get student loans for the last 2 years, or should I keep paying? Well, I think it's so funny that there's this tradition in our culture that we pay for our kids' college. And the reason I find it so funny is that I paid for my own college. I worked and I did what I needed to do. And I didn't have a college fund from my parents to go back on to be able to go to college and get my degrees. And so when people ask me about paying for their kids' college, my gut instinct always tells me, well, they should pay for it themselves. So what I would, if it were me and my kids, I would maybe meet them halfway and be willing to pay for some of it for them, but have them bring some money to the table. So maybe take the summer off and work and save up, so that then they are paying for, and say, you know, if during the summer they save up, you know, $6,000, say I'll match it and you'll have $12,000 for the next year of college. And that also will help them to create a little bit more of a sense of ownership of that college, because when it's something is just paid for you and given to you, it has less value than if you've earned it yourself. And I value my college a lot because I paid for it and I put a lot of hard-earned money into it so that I could graduate, and it means something to me. Whereas when you have something that's just given to you, it doesn't always have that same, you know, feeling to it. And just to draw a comparison, my daughter, it's so funny because when I bought her things that, like she has a gift for her birthday or such, and, you know, when it's just bought and given to her, she doesn't really appreciate it as much. And when it breaks, or if it breaks, she thinks, oh, well, you can just buy me a new one, right? And I say, well, no, not exactly. We're not just going to replace it. If you got to take good care of your things. However, there's a couple of things that she paid for by herself. For example, she has this fun little VTech watch that she bought on with her own money. She saved up for it. She got some of the money did come from grandma in the form of a birthday gift, but then she took money that she had saved up, and this birthday money that she got from grandma, and she bought this VTech watch for herself, and she cherishes it. She has never lost it. She keeps it right next to her nightstand when she's asleep, and then she puts it on. She loves it. She uses it, and it is one of her most prized possessions because she earned it. And so I think if you can take that same attitude towards your son's college and have him meet you halfway, then you're going to create a much better investment in his future, and he's going to really have that have a little bit more ownership for that college, and it will give him a much better experience. So I would not go the student loan route. I will be honest with you. I made mistakes and went student loan route, and I wish that I had worked a little harder because student loans are not fun. They are not fun to pay off over the long term. And one of the greatest days of that can come in your financial life is the day that those are gone. So be a support to him, but try to meet him halfway and see what he can bring to the table, and do maybe some sort of a matching deal. So good luck, Lois. Good luck to your son in his studies. And the last question comes from Danielle. She says, what is the best financial advice you could give someone? Oh, that's a really difficult question, but the best financial advice that I would give someone is to build your financial house. And we've talked over and over again about what those steps are. You know, start out the first foundation of your financial house being some giving. Give 10% of your income to some sort of a charity. As I've mentioned before, I choose to give 10% to my church, but there are plenty of charities out there that are very worthy and great charities, and it will help you to keep things in focus. It'll help you to keep things real and help you to really appreciate what you have and what is coming in. And, you know, we talked about keeping up with the Joneses. It'll help you to stay away from that keeping up with the Joneses attitude, because you'll be grateful for what you do have. And then the next step is protect your family. And we've talked about that in great length, where you're making sure that they have a roof, they have food, they have clothing, they have fuel, you know, utilities are being paid. And building that level of your financial house is imperative to making sure your family's taken care of. If you can't afford those things, then you've got to start making some real changes and look towards either increasing your income or reducing your expenses, so that you can make sure you're protecting your family. And then moving into that next step of eliminating debt, where you want to get debt free and get all of that. You know, that proverb is very, very true, that the debtor is slave to the lender, and we don't want to be slave to anyone. And you don't want to be working and putting your hard-earned money towards someone else's future other than your own. And then, of course, saving and investing is the next level of that financial house, building that retirement, saving for emergencies, getting that step done so that you can really have great financial peace of mind. And then, of course, lastly, continuing to build that wealth and give. And give more to those who are in need. And if you can build that financial house and follow those steps, then that is what I would give for the best financial advice to anyone. So we do welcome your questions. You can submit your questions to podcast@Tregator.com, or you can go out to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Tregator. We'd love to hear from you and be able to answer these questions. It's always a lot of fun to hear what people are asking and to be able to provide some good information, hopefully. So please do send those. And once again, this podcast is sponsored by Tregator. Go to Tregator.com and sign up for the free trial of the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. There is a little link in your player that will allow you to go out and start that free trial today. So be sure you click that, visit our sponsor. Also, while you're clicking on things, go ahead and click on the subscribe in your player so you never miss an episode of the podcast. We love to have you being with us and part of our audience. So make sure that you've subscribed so that you don't miss a beat. And again, thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.